Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel. This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the Studio Gym, where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to Superhuman Radio. It's Thursday, which means I'm joined by Ken O'Neill for the Trans Evolutionary Fitness Radio Show. How you doing, Ken?
I'm doing well. How are you, Carl?
Good, good. So we have a challenge going on for people to become more mindful. There are four different parts to it. We've already talked about two of them. We're going to do the third one today. So let's recap. The first step to being mindful was for people to sit quietly and count their exhaled breaths using 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, right? Very simple stuff. And do that for 5 minutes, uninterrupted, a couple times a day. Did you say 3 times a day or 2 times a day originally?
We'll build up to 3.
Okay. Then you talked about
progressive mindfulness training.
Right. Then you talked about incorporating it into a movement.
Right.
So that you could do this mindfulness while you're up and around and doing things, right?
Exactly.
And recap how that worked.
Well, that worked. We recommended that you first do 5 minutes of the sitting, then stand up and retain that mindfulness as you move through the world. You can continue to count the out-breath if you wish. You can be mindful of one or the other of your foot as you move it forward and place it on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
The important thing is to maintain that presence. And it's going to be challenging. You know, it's hard enough doing it sitting, but when you're up moving, the distractions of the environment and so on can begin to hijack your attention.
So if you do become distracted, then you gently just move back to counting your breaths or whatever it was that you were focusing on as you're moving around.
Yep, you move right back there. And I really want to stress the significance of this. Mindfulness is not something dissociative from what we might be doing in the gym or other parts of life. As we're going to find as the program goes on today, our new biology puts tremendous emphasis on our mindset, on our belief, and how that limits or unlimits us. So this is a warm-up practice. This is a break-in kind of practice for regaining control of your life.
And I don't think people really, I don't think any of us really know what it feels like to have that kind of control unless you've practiced it for a while and then let it wane away.
Exactly. I knew one guy back in the 90s who had been, had grown up severely ADHD. His mom had him in with doctors, she had him in with psychologists, everything. Nothing worked. He started doing Zen. And the Zen took over. He ended up becoming vice abbot of one of the large Zen practice centers on the East Coast, and then went off to the University of Arizona and earned a PhD in the psychology of consciousness.
Interesting.
Now, to tell a kind of a different story, there's a real famous researcher named Charlie Tart that since the 60s has been publishing books on altered states of consciousness, transpersonal psychology, a real leading edge figure. I attended a workshop that he did as a precursor to the Tortoise Science of Consciousness week-long conference. It's a biannual conference at University of Arizona, I think in 98. And he had about 50 people in that all-day workshop, many big names in consciousness research, teaching them exactly the kind of things we're doing here. And what was so ironic was these big names in consciousness research had very little consciousness of their own.
Really? Well, yeah. But that stands to reason, right? I mean, when you think about it, the people who teach these things typically don't have a good grasp of it But they, yet they're able to teach it to other people. They're able to convey this, but not necessarily practice it, right?
Well, the field of consciousness studies is so broad that many of them aren't even doing anything vaguely related to mindfulness. As we're going to talk in a few minutes about physiology, it's the same, a very similar situation in which the field is governed by the idea of what's normal. And what's normal is the unexamined life. What's normal is living by habit. And as we begin to do these things, simple practices like we're doing with the mindfulness, what becomes real obvious is that we live in these habits that we're unconscious.
Interesting.
It's like our life is living us instead of us having much at all in the way of control.
Mm-hmm.
So when we go into medicine, let's say, and somebody has a placebo effect or spontaneous remission of a diagnosed terminal illness, the field of medicine says, oh, that's an anomaly, it's a something black box, it's not how we do medicine, and they ignore it. Well, when you've got a third of the population diagnosed terminally ill that undergoes spontaneous remission, in my opinion, that says something big is happening there, something big is happening internal to the human phenomena, the human consciousness. We better go find out what it is. It might have tremendous value in prevention.
But they don't, and it's interesting because something that you said a moment ago, it rings so true, but people take it for granted. And that is this notion that we are, if you're not controlling your mind, your life is not in control. You are being driven by your life. You're not driving your life. And probably one of the things that, one of the characteristics that you'll find on people who are very, very successful is their ability to control their thoughts. Their ability not to be controlled by their thoughts. Let's put it that way. They encounter things that make other people squirm and freak out, yet they feel in control because they realize that perception is 100% of what we're doing here. What we perceive something to be is what it truly is. You could be standing at the edge of a precipice looking down at your death, and one person will become panicked because they will feel that their death is inevitable, and they will fall. And the other person will say to themselves, this is no different than walking on the edge of a curb where the gutter meets the sidewalk, and the distance is 6 inches down, and they keep their cool, and they can continue to balance. You know what I'm saying? Perception is everything when it comes to, right, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. That reminds me of stories back in the 60s. There was a center out in the Mojave Desert that specialized in renewing people who were victims of cult mind control.
Mm-hmm.
And their daily work was going out on mule trails, which are very, very narrow, and undergoing harsh physical activity. And they had to pay attention. They couldn't lapse into that stuff that was going on from the cult mind control because that precipice was going to be where they were going down.
And,
so they were able to turn those kids around in extremely rapid time.
Now, I'll tell you something else. For those of you who are bigger fans of physical culture than mindfulness, Dr. Malin Watvey, Ori Hofmeckler, they have all discovered this fact that when the mind is so narrowly focused, and it usually becomes very narrowly focused when there is threat of harm or life, or death, I should say. When the mind becomes so narrowly focused and crystal clear, time slows down. There are things that happen physiologically that improve your ability to get stronger and build muscle. Dr. Malin Watvey talks about this in his book of Doves, Diplomats, and Diabetes, that when the peptides for hunger overcome the peptides for fear, that's when we were willing to go out and risk dying to get food. But that also set up biologically an environment that caused our bodies to take the nutrition that we had gathered or caught and allow it to become something positive and beneficial to the body and not negative and toxic to the body, which is the condition today where everybody eats at will. That Dr. Watfi says that sense of fear is missing from society today. The need for aggression to overcome that fear is missing from society today. And he says that's part of the obesogenic model today. Now, you look at Ori Hofmeckler's writing and you see that in his book, Unlocking Your Muscle Gene, he talks about the greater degree of acquisition of strength, the changes in the types of muscle fibers that occur, and the protein synthetic response that occurs when you combine your exercise with the type of, for lack of better terms, danger of injuring yourself in the movements that causes neonatal genes to turn on and say, holy mackerel, we really need to build up fast because this could kill us next time. Now think about that. Isn't that amazing that that's the way the body works anyway?
And I didn't know of either one of those, but they make abundant sense. We live in fear all the time, but it's the fear that wears us out is chronic stress.
In fact, it's fear that kept us alive. When you think about, so people always say, oh, well, why do people always gravitate towards the negative? Why does the news always have to give us the negative? Because we are genetically hardwired to look for the danger in our environment exclusively. We are not genetically hardwired to look for the beauty in our environment because the beauty doesn't kill us. It's the danger that kills us. Why do people gravitate towards the negatives? Why do we love to hear the horror stories? Because that's what kept us alive when we were living in jungles, being vigilant of the danger. We are hardwired to seek out the negative. That's what kept us alive.
And that's where mindfulness comes into play. If you're in that environment and off having fantasies, you're dead.
So, I mean, for those of you who still haven't gotten it, that this discussion, we're talking about mindfulness, this will take you to a new level of superhuman. When you harness your brain, when you start to use your... Imagine your... Okay, here's a perfect example. We've all had Trojan horse viruses on our computers that made our hard drive spin ad infinitum. And you can't even access any data. You're trying to pull up a file and it takes 20 minutes. You're trying to access a web page. It takes 6 minutes for the page to load because the drive is off doing all of this extraneous stuff that the virus is telling it to do. Maybe gathering data and sending it out over the internet to the person who's capturing this data. You don't have control of your hard drive. Your hard drive is now taking control of your computer. You can't even do the simplest task, right? You with me on that, Ken?
Yeah.
Okay. If you are not in control of your mind, if you are not controlling your mind, but you're just allowing your mind to run off on its own, it's no different than that virus that has taken over your hard drive where you can't even access the simplest of tasks any longer. Isn't that a decent analogy?
Yeah, and what I would add to it, and it comes from a story of the great samurai, Miyamoto Musashi. Someone tracked him down to do battle. And he didn't want to do battle with the guy. He was just irrelevant. And the guy that was preying upon him became so enraged that he spit in Miyamoto's face to get him to respond, upon which Miyamoto walked away. You never fight in anger. You've given yourself to the opponent.
Mm.
So the fear is all right, but the anger is a knee-jerk reaction that's taken you away from the mindfulness of the warrior.
Interesting.
Fred Ferenczik, in his book, The Exuberant Animal, made a comment that I thought was spot on. He believes that the origins of Zen-like mindfulness are in our hunter-gatherer ancestry, that to be successful out there hunting and be successful not being prey, mindfulness was the name of the game. In fact, I'd enlarge that. Colin Wilson back in the 70s was claiming that some of the so-called psychic abilities are, he called them Faculty X, and regarded them as socially vestigial structures. Socially, we've evolved from using them in our earlier state. They were a part of that mindfulness that kept us alive.
And it makes sense. I got to believe we were less distracted in the first place in that period of our evolutionary journey. Today, we're so overly distracted. We've got text messages, emails, phone calls. You know, everything is coming at us at one time. We're overwhelmed. People's thought processes become fragmented. Doing these exercises may be difficult for you simply because you've become such a fragmented thinker. So many people, if they don't make that phone call right now, they'll forget that they need to make that phone call an hour from now. That's a phenomenon that's completely unique to this, to the human condition, and is a result of fragmented thought caused by spontaneous reaction to every little thing that comes our way. We have no, I know people that they can't even think because they're getting text messages or something's popping up on their Facebook screen, or it's like it interrupts your thought. All we do now is fragmented thought.
Well, it's an addictive disorder, I think. I'm old enough to remember when telephones were something you dialed and that was it. You know, if you wanted a remote, it was a walkie-talkie. And my observation there is that, well, you go to the wisdom traditions the world over that teach some sort of mindfulness. And their claim is that once you begin doing mindfulness, the first thing you're going to discover and probably not like is how fragmented and dissociative your mind is.
Right. It's uncomfortable.
With our social evolution in the last two decades, we have amplified that so profoundly, particularly with younger people, I notice, that live on it. It's like their cell phone and their iPad is an IV.
Right. You got to break that. Here's what we need to do. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to give you part three of the Mindfulness 30-Day Challenge. How's that sound, Ken?
That sounds like what's coming up.
All right, so stay tuned. We'll be right back with more of the Trans Evolutionary Fitness Radio Show. It's interesting what we consider a reason to get angry.
He's a military strategist on health.
Merck, the pharmaceutical company, killed 55,000 people with Vioxx. They knew that it had a problem, and they sold it to people anyway, and 55,000 plus people died taking Vioxx.
He's Carl Lenore.
Why isn't this current administration going, we need to go to White House Station, New Jersey, where the Merck headquarters is, and send the military in there? We need to bomb Merck, because they killed 55,000 Americans knowing that they were going to kill 55,000 Americans.
On Superhuman Radio.
Where is the outrage about that?
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to gum disease. It does not contain fluoride, detergent, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good people will comment about it. Right now you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
Only one testosterone booster, Mahler's Aggressive Strength, raises testicular cholesterol levels while increasing gonadotropin, releasing hormone. That in turn turbocharges how much testosterone you can make. In a clinical trial, this resulted in a 347% increase in testosterone, and it won't bottom out your estrogen levels either, so your libido will be in high gear. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Aggressive Strength banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and get 10% off today.
Your physique is carved from sweat, reps, and discipline. It's time to show off your hard work with Quest Apparel, clothes engineered to enhance the contours of your body. The makers of the number one selling Quest Bar created Quest Apparel with your body and philosophy in mind. Every shirt, pant, and dress has an inspirational custom tagline as a reminder to yourself and a subtle message to those around you that you carved your path to be the exception because you are made, not born. Go to questapparel.com and enter code SUPERHUMAN to receive 20% off your purchase today. The 1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workout the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. Age Force introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order. Train harder, train longer, recover faster, and elevate protein synthesis. It's finally here. Splice with branched chain amino acids, taurine, and trimethylglycine. You'll blast through your workouts without the need for stimulants, and the alpha-lactalbumin ensures your workouts will be the most productive because nothing accelerates muscle growth faster. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Predator Nutrition banner ad and use the coupon code SPLYCE10 to save 10% off today.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to the Trans Evolutionary Fitness Show with Ken O'Neill. You can learn more about Ken O'Neill by going to transevolutionaryfitness.com. So, what is part three of the 30-day mindfulness challenge, Ken?
Part three is standing. And here's what I'd like you to imagine yourself doing. First, do your five-minute practice of sitting in the chair. Hopefully, it's getting stronger. Your count is going longer. You're beginning to feel a certain calm and a pleasant sensation of just sitting there counting those things. Then stand up, and we'll go for 5 minutes of the walking mindfulness. And as your sitting progresses and deepens, it's going to carry over to the walking. At the end of the 5 minutes of walking, find a comfortable place to stand. You're just going to stand there. But unlike standing in line, a long line to get in a movie or a restaurant, you don't have any place to go.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have anything to do except stand and enjoy the sensation of standing. You might want to cross your arms, your hands in front of you, or let them hang comfortably at your side, and continue the counting of out-breaths. Noticing how relaxed the stance is.
Mm-hmm.
If there are any parts after a few minutes that, we all have little postural irregularities, you will have an opportunity to discover realigning your posture, maybe dropping your hips forward, relaxing the lower back, pulling the shoulders back and letting them drop if they're hanging forward. All those little things that are unique to us. And in that, you'll find, as you relax, that the counting will just keep going on.
Now, we're talking about extending this for some time. So, in other words, we're doing 5 minutes of sitting.
We're doing 15 minutes.
If you're going to do 15 minutes, do you have to do that multiple times a day, you think?
If you're up to it, how much power do you want?
Yeah, that's a good one, right?
Hey, look, the rules of
But think about this. I'm even guilty of it, right? I have no problem going to the gym for an hour and a half, but isn't it funny that I look at this like, okay, this is going to be a lot of time out of my day, and it's not a priority. I'm looking already like, well, that's a long time. And really what I should be thinking, like you just said, how much power do you want?
Yeah, and look at it this way, too. What return on investment do you want? How greedy do you want to get to achieve a degree of psychological mastery you ain't going to have any other way?
Hmm.
Now, what we're dealing with is something very foreign or alien to the idea of normality in our culture. This is breakthrough kind of experience. And there's something you said last week that I want to go back to. I think it was about fitness, but it applies here too. We're not going to get the larger chunk of humanity going this way. They're too deeply invested in habits and the momentum of mediocrity.
Right.
This is for people who are volitionally, consciously, deliberately choosing to move themselves in the direction of success in being on the cutting edge of human evolution. This is for people who genuinely are investing in their freedom, their autonomy, and powers of volition.
You know, if you don't believe that this could enhance your success, I will tell you something that has always struck me as interesting. In your mind, if I ask you, who in your opinion is the most who is the greatest radio personality today that more people know his name than any other radio personality out there today? Who would you say it is?
Me?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
Radio reception where I live is horrible.
Okay.
I have
Howard Stern, a little known fact, Howard Stern has been a disciple of Transcendental Meditation since he was 19 years old. Every morning, without fail, the limo picks him up at his home and drives him to the studio. And he's been doing this since he was on the air in New York. He's been doing this his entire life since he's been on radio. He meditates for 20 minutes on the way to the studio every morning, and then he meditates in the afternoon before he leaves the studio. He's been doing this. God, he's older than me, Howard, right?
Yeah.
Okay. One time he was asked about meditation. He said unequivocally that he attributes his dedication to transcendental meditation to a great degree of his success, because it has enabled him to sharpen his intuitions about his business, to see things, to see the future of radio, to see where things were going to go, to position himself to be there ahead of everybody else. And it lowers stress. Howard does not dye his hair. His hair is complete black, as it always has been. He attributes that to the lack of stress because he controls his stress with meditation. Now, he does say that his grandfather had a full head of dark hair at an older age, too, but not to this degree like Howard has now. So the reason I bring Howard in is because as a radio personality, I look up to other radio personalities who seem to have a grasp on the industry. And Howard is one of those people. He attributes a great deal of his success to the fact that he has consistently and uninterruptedly meditated his entire career twice a day. So if you feel, and I'm saying this for my own self too, by the way, I'm not preaching to anybody. I'm saying this for me. If you feel that taking 2 20-minute breaks out of your day is a waste of your time, then and you attribute time wasters to things that don't progress you in success, then that is the exact opposite of what meditation and mindfulness will do for you.
And I'm going to add, for the success you want in the gym, two figures in 20th century bodybuilding that were hardcore meditators, actually a third that isn't well known, stand out. Bill Pearl and Frank Zane. Both
really?
Of them attribute. Oh, yeah.
I didn't know about Bill Pearl.
I've talked to Bill for years. Bill has been the chief motivator of what I'm doing now as Transevolutionary Fitness. He's been after me to do it for 30 years.
Wow.
Bill goes back to self-hypnosis, various teachers, Frank, and then to a lesser extent, I don't really know the depth of it. As a teenager, I corresponded with the Iron Guru, Vince Gironda.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came back from Japan, he was elated. I never got down to visit him to talk about it. He was steeped in Zen and yoga material. He understood the mind. I'm really sad that that conversation never occurred.
Hmm. Yeah.
But
that's
it's
amazing.
Not powers of the mind that we're looking at. It's the power of consciousness. And what we now know is this is an incredibly powerful epigenetic tool for fine-tuning signals that get our genes going in the right direction.
Yeah. Okay, so we have now the third installment of the 30-day challenge, which adds to its standing. Now, is it safe to say that once you master these, you don't necessarily have to sit, walk, and stand, but you could actually, let's say you're standing in line, you know you're going to be in line for the next 15 minutes, you decide to be mindful, just start out in a standing position?
Yeah, once you've got the basic skills down, they're portable. You can apply them anywhere, anytime.
Yeah.
People that are highly stressed, I really recommend that they go in their office and close the door or go somewhere and take 5-minute meditation breaks during the day just to lower and to begin to transcend stress reactions.
Okay, let's do this. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick it up on something we were talking about last week, and that is a discussion on the term that Ken likes to use, old-itis. Because apparently we don't have to age the way we are. So we're going to talk about that when we come back. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Transevolutionary Radio Show. We'll be right back.
He's asking the right questions at the right time.
I don't care what side of this you're standing on. That GMO is good for us, GMO is bad for us. The truth of the matter is nobody knows the answer. Is it fair to subject this world to this experiment, which may have undeniable, unknown consequences that will be irreversible?
You're listening to Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
In a world of advanced bodybuilding supplementation, the numbers don't lie. Fact, Iron Mag Labs is among the fastest growing hardcore supplement companies in the world. Fact, when it comes to no-nonsense, cutting-edge products, nobody delivers results like Iron Mag Labs. Fact, the Iron Mag Labs line of innovative formulation has set a new industry standard with products that are helping world-class bodybuilders reach levels they never thought possible. Iron Mag Labs is a proud supporter of bodybuilders everywhere. Discover the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements on the market. Visit IronMagLabs.com today.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. Phytoform has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live-On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
Superhumans using Percova Extra Edge Colostrum Powder are experiencing dramatic improvements in strength, performance, recovery, and endurance. Benefits that cannot be duplicated by any other supplement. Percova Extra Edge Colostrum Powder will take your game to another level. If you already know how great Percova Extra Edge Colostrum is, you could purchase 4 jars of Extra Edge Colostrum Powder for $200. Use coupon code SHR2. See the Percova banner ad on superhumanradio.com today.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Hello, boys and girls. My name is Fat.
Welcome back.
And this is my friend
to
Sammy
the Trans Evolutionary Fitness Radio Show with Ken O'Neill. So, Ken, you make some good points in your notes here, right? Gerontology is the study of aging, right? So, a gerontologist works with old people, and their assumption is that, hey, everybody gets old, everybody gets a disease, everybody becomes frail, and that's it. But that's really not the case, right?
Well, you know, the getting into olditis was segued from last week in talking about bending the aging curve. And, of course, a week has gone by, and I haven't been comatose, and a lot more has been added. And I think what we're going to get going here is another one of those synergistic conversations. In gerontology, for a long time, has worked on the assumption that it's studying normal aging. This is how normal people normally age. The problem with our medical and physiological orientation is that it studies normality. It studies resting, sedentary people and holds them as the norm of any kind of genetic expression, which is very, very dangerous because we're beginning to know, and I want to mention a name here if people are interested. There's a guy at the University of Missouri Medical School, an exercise physiologist named Frank Booth. In the last decade and a half, he's published about 3-inch-thick pile of papers.
Mm-hmm.
He is extraordinary. And the point that he makes is that we have to keep in mind is that any cause resulting in a switch from normal to abnormal function is pathology. And what we know is that inactivity on the short term brings about an increase in risk factors. In the long term, it results in pathologies associated with clinically diagnosable diseases. Now, our system of medicine catches those diseases when they've become overt, 10, 20, 30 years down the pathway of erosion having been active and ongoing. Think about it.
Right.
The stuff that really is happening and is precipitating an illness is subclinical. It can't be measured by our current system of medicine. And our current system of medicine is thinking it's something that's happening with proteins not producing correctly from genes, not looking at what stimulates the genes in the first place to be doing those things. So the problem that we're facing today is that nobody knows how much of our physiology is incomplete or wrong because of the nearly exclusive use of low-activity subjects who stay at rest, thereby omitting any gene functions in response to acute and chronic environmental stress such as exercise. Hmm. Now, that's an immensely important point. I see on particularly Facebook a lot, people publishing, hey, this new study says such and such about diabetes risk or obesity or so on. I can't tell you how many I've gone to and looked for one thing. What is the population that's been studied?
Right.
They're usually randomized selections from the general population. The pharmaceutical companies today are increasingly trying to eliminate people that are more prone to placebo effect than not. But by and large, our studies are of normal people. And in terms of that discussion we had a couple of weeks ago, that we've had 100,000 generations of humans, and we're about 100 generations into the Industrial Revolution's fallout.
Right.
We haven't changed. Our genes haven't changed. Our environment has changed profoundly. So we're basing our ideas about fitness, health, medical care on people that we call normal, but in the grand scheme of things, the evolutionary scheme of things, are abnormal genetic expression.
Right. And the word, and you know, there's lots of abnormal genetic expression. There's some abnormal genetic expression that's good. I mean, there's always things to the right and to the left of norm. So what we see in a preponderance, at least in the United States, is abnormal genetic expression in the direction of illness, frailty, and deviations from what I think the human condition is supposed to be.
Yeah. Booth has actually proposed that a new category be introduced to medical thinking. Ready for it?
Yeah.
Genes producing physical inactivity diseases.
Wait, say that again. Genes producing...
Genes producing physical inactivity diseases.
Isn't it physical inactivity that produces these diseases? So in other words, we have to look for the genes? This is why I'm starting to lose all faith in the science of genetics entirely.
Well, the science of genetics, this is the big, big point that's made me rethink what I've proposed in my model as the three pillars. Genetics, our genes are our programs. They respond to environmental signaling. If you look in the mirror and see yourself standing there, you're going to see, who you identify with being. If you could look at yourself with an electron microscope, you're a colony of about 50 trillion cells that aren't much different than amoebas that have over millions of years evolved into higher and higher levels of organization, some specializing, becoming organs, and so on, but that work together in an incredibly rich system of communication. All of those cells of our body are responding to signals about the environment, including the internal environment, that are regularly pumped through the blood as signals associated with white blood cells.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where do they go? The real brain of the cell isn't the DNA. It's the cell membrane.
Hmm.
Membrane. Which has these little antenna-like things that are constantly moving. They're molecules. But we're trained to look upon molecules as something like a chemical formula. Molecules move and they dance and they change shapes. And these receptors are like little antennas that populate the cell membrane. And one of the things we need to know about membranes is that cells evolve to get as much membrane as possible, to have as many receptor sites as possible
mm-hmm.
over the millennia. And when they maxed out on that, they begin to evolve as colonies.
So in other words, what you're saying is the cell, through the membrane, became as big as it was physically capable of becoming, and then it said, you know what, we need to become a multicellular organism.
Right.
So that's a form of intelligence. That's a form of intelligence.
Which contradicts Darwin saying that mutations are random.
Interesting.
This is saying that mutations are intelligent. And they're self-organizing. So,
I want to stay with this for a second, because I don't think people really grasp this often enough. We look at the 6 million years of evolution quite often back to what is considered our last common ancestor. We don't look at the previous, who knows how many millions of years, where we evolved from smaller organisms to the large organism that we are today. Now, think about this. Look at the effort that has to go into designing an automobile.
Right.
Now, look at our bodies. Our bodies, our brains, our friggin' eye alone is more complex, more elegant than even the most sophisticated automobile out there. That's just our eyeball itself. So imagine the intelligence through evolution driven by need, but more importantly, driven by a desire to evolve to be a better form of species that took us there.
Through cooperation.
Yes. And isn't it interesting that Dr. Lieberman confirmed on my show the other day that the thing that makes the human brain unique over every other mammal or species out there that has a brain is that we are a cooperative species. We hunt in packs. We share. Other animals hunt in packs. They don't share.
Darwin claimed that it's survival of the fittest is the strongest, that it's individuals against nature, and he was dead wrong on that.
Yes.
And you know, extending what you're saying there about the intelligent evolution from primordial beginnings of single-cell animals, we've never quit being single-celled.
We're a conglomeration of single cells.
Our skin, our epidermis, is like a petri dish containing 50 trillion cells.
All cooperating with each other.
And their plasma that fuels them is the blood. And it carries some of the signaling.
The intelligence.
It's not all the central nervous system.
Right.
And cooperation is the name of the game. Each stage of a cyclical increase in evolutionary development,
you know,
higher levels of cooperative organization.
You know what I just had a thought of? Have you ever seen the Tim Burton movie, The Nightmare Before Christmas?
I don't think so.
Okay. In The Nightmare Before Christmas, those of you who have seen it, who have children especially, remember that the boogeyman at the end, when he is beaten by Jack, the boogeyman turns out to be a conglomeration of cooperative, slimy, squirmy bugs that all break apart and scatter into different directions once his coat is taken off.
Huh.
So all of these bugs and all these squirmy worms and snakes and slithering creatures got together to create one being, the boogeyman. They cooperated to create that being, and that cooperation created something that was greater than the sum of each individual one of them. So what you're saying is we are still single-celled, but we are just a cooperative colony of single cells, some being kidney, some being brain, some being skin, and so on.
Right.
And the reason that this is so hard to grasp, people are thinking that they're going, oh, this is really way too esoteric for me. But the reason that this is too hard to grasp is because it requires the assumption that there is some sort of monolith of intelligence beyond what our brain can conjure up, beyond the grasp of our own thinking.
I know people
are going right now, oh, Carl, you've lost it.
There is, and it's in us.
Interesting.
I mean, if you consider how you maintain your homeostasis, you know, that balance of catabolism and animalism that keeps you alive and moving, there's not a computer in the world that could simulate what our bodies naturally do as a biocomputer.
You know,
the intelligence that lives us is far greater than what we know.
We have to take a break. We've gone real long on this segment, but I want to just, when we come back, I just want to take for a minute and talk about quantum physics, because you have to talk about quantum physics, because the reality is that to some degree, quantum physics has proven a lot of these concepts already.
Well, biology needs to immerse itself in quantum physics.
Yeah, obviously. Let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more of the Trans-Evolutionary Fitness Radio Show.
There's something comforting about knowing he's out there.
Government is in place because it assumes that people are too stupid to care for themselves.
By your side.
Government has to take up the parental role of teaching people what to do.
Fighting the good fight.
Government has to get out of people's pantries, first of all. They can't legislate health.
He's Carl Lenore on Superhuman Radio.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use AuraMD. AuraMD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to gum disease. It does not contain fluoride, detergents, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good, people will comment about it. Right now, you can get a buy one, get one free of AuraMD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the AuraMD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but AuraMD, and neither should you.
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live-On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Keto Force is the first ketone salt that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Force and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Force banner ad today.
Your physique is carved from sweat, reps, and discipline. It's time to show off your hard work with Quest Apparel. Clothes engineered to enhance the contours of your body. The makers of the number one selling Quest Bar created Quest Apparel with your body and philosophy in mind. Every shirt, pant, and dress has an inspirational custom tagline as a reminder to yourself and a subtle message to those around you that you carve your path to be the exception because you are made, not born. Go to questapparel.com. Enter code SUPERHUMAN to receive 20% off your purchase today.
It's new, it's cutting edge, and it's custom made to get you to Gainesville. The Blueprint Meteoric is here. Meteoric is the final frontier for drug-free athletes. Includes brand new breakthrough information about triphasic energy system training and macronutrient cycling. Specifically designed to transform your physique in record time. For a limited time, get the Blueprint Meteoric for free, along with the legendary Add 1 Inch to Your Upper Arms in a Single Workout when you subscribe to the Blueprint Bulletin. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Blueprint banner ad.
Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to the Transevolutionary Fitness Radio Show with Ken O'Neill. A lot of these concepts are hard to get your mind around, okay? I understand that. It's hard for me to get my mind around. When I'm saying some of these things, I'm thinking, oh my God, the audience is going to think, Carl, you've lost it. But quantum physics has proven a lot of this stuff, believe it or not.
It's the basis for understanding a lot of it.
Well, so here's the, one of the things that I learned from, what's his name? Deepak Chopra. Okay?
Uh-huh.
In his book, Ageless Beauty, Timeless Mind, he talks about the matter or antimatter, whatever you want to call it, the black space between cells. He talks about this as a matter of some sort. And says that the stuff that is in between our cells is also in between the cells in the wood desk that you're sitting at and is also what makes up black matter in space. It's all the same. And he says, as a result of that, there is a connectedness between us and everything around us all the way up into the cosmos because we share this common matter that holds us together. And as a result of that, we are connected to all of the intelligence that creates shape and form in the cosmos and here. Now, this is what quantum physics talks about. This is not esoteric hippie talk. This is not, big craze that went on in California back in the day,
New Age.
New Age. This isn't New Age, philosophy. This is quantum physics. So these physicists understand, and if Adele Moussa is listening to the show, I stand to be corrected. Maybe I misinterpreted what Deepak Chopra meant, or maybe he's wrong. But according to quantum physics, the matter that is in between every cell in your body is the same matter that's in between every cell and every other organism on the planet, and is what makes up black matter in the cosmos as well.
Chopra is by no means alone in making this assertion. What we have going on right now is a paradigm war of sorts between the cosmology, really, the science of the 1850s, which is Newtonian mechanics and atomism, and something that happened in the 1920s, quantum physics. Quantum physics doesn't look upon the universe as dead. It doesn't look upon the universe as being reducible to matter alone. Matter and energy are interchangeable. And it includes consciousness in its discussion of science. That science is perception. So from the very get-go, what we're knowing is what we're perceiving and how we're perceiving it. Now, where this gets, have you seen the video Setting Science Free?
No, I have not.
Go to YouTube. It's a TED Talk by Rupert Sheldrake, which TED's Board of Scientific Advisors censored and banned.
Really?
And Sheldrake is no lightweight. He's a Cambridge PhD. He's brilliant. He's articulate. That's the brief form. He goes into a few examples that he probably shouldn't have used to be more compelling with his arguments.
And that's what you have to be careful when you become attached to some zealot-type concept. Is that what happened?
Well, he's got something. He extends what you're talking about with Deepak Chopra into morphogenic resonance. He thinks, and this is a book he published in around 1980-82 through Tarcher, that holds that information is out there. It's not all in here. And that part of the communication that informs, that brings shape to genetic expression, is from external fields that are sort of memory.
Mm-hmm.
So that if a chemist goes to tremendous efforts in creating a new molecule that's very laborious, and more chemists get involved and find shorter, easier ways to do it, suddenly just about anybody in the world can do it without reading their method.
Is this kind of the 100th monkey theory?
I was just going to say that. It's like that, yes. And while I find that interesting, I'm not sure if I was Rupert Sheldrake, I would have included that in the talk, because that feeds the Peter Dawkins of the world and the Quackwatch people of the world,
right,
who are entrenched in an old paradigm, who haven't read that book published 50 years ago by Thomas Kuhn, The Structure of Scientific Revolutions, which opens with a quote from Max Planck saying that it's not the compelling evidence of new scientific discovery that accounts for the evolution of science. Instead, it's the death of old scientists being replaced by a younger generation. Dean Radin, the parapsychologist, rephrased that as science advances through the funerals of scientists.
I like that. That's good.
Well, it's true. But where
that's because so many people want to hold on to their moment of discovery, and they don't want it to be transmuted into some new discovery. So, and that's typical. Everybody wants to protect their own little fiefdom.
I've got a probably a little more sarcastic view of that. I think that with the 1850s, with the demythologization of traditional religion, that science became the new religion for many people. I know people in the field that, I know one guy who I've been told 30 years ago, every third word, a sentence out of his mouth was quoting scripture, who now quotes Peter Dawkins.
Really?
Yeah, he's made that flip-flop. But just take this as a case in point. Our geneticists were assured that due to the complexity of the highest point of evolution, the human being, that with the Human Genome Project, we would have over 120,000 genes discovered. In fact, what shook out was a worm, the Canorbabditis worm, composed of 969 bodily cells and 302 brain cells, has nearly 20,000 genes.
Wow.
the Drosophila melanogaster, the fruit fly, which is vastly more complex, bigger and everything, 14,000 genes. What does the human genome look like? Approximately 25,000 genes, 5,000 more genes than a little worm.
Than Drosophila or, right, yeah.
We have about the same number of genes as laboratory mice.
Right.
So what accounts for our complexity?
Intelligence. There's something else going on inside of us that we can't put our finger on. Science doesn't like to talk about it, the truth is, because it borders on the surreal. And also because, as humans, we like predictability. That's why we are such symbolic creatures. Symbolism is a way for us to assign predictability to things. And we don't like the unknown. We don't like things that we can't put in a box or feel the shape of or predict they will happen. And when you start talking about this, it's so beyond the grasp of our own functional intelligence. And I say functional because the intelligence that we are in control of versus the intelligence that is in control of us. We don't like the part that's in control of us, and we don't like to acknowledge it. We don't want to talk about it. It makes us feel uncomfortable. It makes us, it's unpredictable. It scares us. So it's just a lot easier to go, it doesn't exist. But clearly, we didn't get here today without some other driving force besides, because our brains evolved under some sort of intelligent design.
That we haven't caught up with.
No, we probably won't catch up with it because it'll always be above us because it is, it's like if you've ever owned hamsters or gerbils, you know, it's like, really, they're going to grasp what you're thinking? They are your caged animal.
Well, in my opinion, our current condition and our current challenge, which is why I'm promoting mindfulness, and why I'm promoting this epigenetic approach to fitness and health vis-a-vis in a world that has a massive inability to deal with its big problem of healthcare, is that I would state our current condition has been well depicted in a movie most people thought was science fiction. I think it's a documentary, The Matrix.
Really? How so? Explain yourself, because a lot of people are going to go, okay, Ken, you just lost me.
Well, The Matrix is about breaking out of a reality that's constructed and maintained, one that encapsulates us and results in a shrunken version of the human. We regard ourselves, our reality, as being that shrunken, dependent, almost victim role. What occurs in The Matrix is the guy has a breakthrough into the powers of his own intelligence that sets him free. Now, the danger of that is you're out of the maddening crowd, and the maddening crowd wants to keep you captive, not as a conspiracy, but just for the comfort of everybody adhering to the same view of things, not being shaken up, not having to think, not becoming fearful, not being plunged into an unknown, as you put
it. Well, predictability. We like predictability. Even the predictability of things like religion, which have unpredictable factors in them, we like those because we understand them. They've been around for a long time.
So my contention is this new biology of health and fitness that includes quantum physics, that includes the deliberate development of our self-knowing, of our self-mastery, is the most significant thing we have to deal with at this point in time.
You know, when you were saying The Matrix, my first knee-jerk reaction was, come on, Ken, now we've gone around the bend. But then I had to think back. You know, there were TV shows at one time like Flash Gordon, which said man will fly in spaceships. No one believed that would ever happen. No one ever thought that could happen. That was so far-fetched, the idea that we would space travel. Are you joking? And here we are today. the people who saw Flash Gordon back then, if someone would have said that's going to happen someday, they would have said, you're out of your mind, you're loony, you're crazy. Which leads me to the question that I've pondered over my life more than once. Does the does our ability to acquire these concepts and then enough people acquiring these concepts create a unified intelligence that actualizes them? Or do we just have the ability to see into the future, but we don't realize it, that these things will come? These things that we write about today in fictional stories, they will come.
There's no guarantee of that. They have to be cultivated.
That's my point. So what I really believe is to go back, okay, for those who don't understand what the 100th monkey theory is, and I've talked about it on the show before, it was a very, very simple book written that went around California when I was out on the West Coast called The 100th Monkey Theory. It's a very, very small book, big text, simple concept. The book looked at monkeys on a variety of different islands that was separated by water and fairly far apart. These monkeys had certain things in common. There was the growth of a type of potato, a type of yam on the islands. But these yams were basically encrusted with sand, which made it impossible for the monkeys to eat with any real predictability because the sand was it would hurt their teeth and blah, 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 whatever, okay? But at some point in time, a tipping point in intelligence occurred on one of the islands where the monkeys started to carry the yams down to the seashore and wash them in the water and then eat them. And somehow, when this the gravity of intelligence of enough monkeys on this one island starting to do this, they saw these other monkeys on other islands who had no connection, had no way of communicating, started to do it too. Am I explaining that right, Ken? Is that
spontaneously began to do it.
So the idea was that when intelligence within a population reaches a certain gravity, a certain tipping point, a certain level where a certain percentage of the population accepts this as being possible, it then becomes a reality. And it becomes a reality spontaneously all over. Like our brains have this ability to communicate like radios to other places, other people around the world. And this has been proven, or I shouldn't say proven, this has been seen as phenomena more than dozens of times amongst human populations. We see, oh, the Wright brothers came up with the airplane. No, so-and-so came up with the airplane all the way on the other side of the world at the same time.
Well, if we're going to go quantum physics and its implications, one thing to keep in mind is that the old physics has no place for energy, particularly radiation of energy, be it from our minds, people that do healing, what have you. And the kind of medicine that grew up in the United States in the last 100 years eliminated so-called energy medicine from consideration. There's a whole group of people, most of them not in the United States, that can tell you that every organ of the body, when healthy, emits discrete bands of electromagnetic frequencies. That people that are sick, frequencies aren't where they should be. People that do healing, machines that create those and generate those same electromagnetic frequencies, in common, seem to restore healthy energy or healthy electromagnetic frequency emission from people that were sick.
Interesting.
There's just a whole unexplored area there regarding the energy, if you will, that we unconsciously are transmitting. And the bigger problem is we have a science whose dogmatism from 1850 says that's not true. And I think what it's generally doing is reacting to religious superstition of earlier ages.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than being able to move forward and say, well, we're in a quantum universe. We know that matter and energy are interchangeable. If measurements can be done, let's look at them. That's called evidence.
Right.
Instead of carte blanche writing it off as superstition or pseudoscience or something of that nature. Then the other question is, who's going to fund that research? Well,
yeah, there's no money in it.
Big Pharma isn't. If you can teach people
to stay healthy and heal themselves, why would they want that, right?
Yeah.
But I want to, we have to take a break. I want to implore the audience to not discount these things right summarily right off the bat. But just imagine that there is actually more to you than you understand. That there are more possibilities available to you than you ever thought. That there is an infinite intelligence that you have that is shared by the people that you look up to and respect. That you can acquire that same level of whatever it is that you're looking for. It all starts with exercising your mind the way you exercise your body. Not going aimlessly through the day, allowing your brain to spin like the hard drive captured by the virus. But instead controlling it. It all starts there. That's why the 30-day mindfulness challenge, however feeble your attempt to play a role in it in your own life is, whether it's once a day and you just do the sitting and that's what, whatever it is you do, it's more than you're doing now. Do it. Because it all starts with controlling your mind in order to tap into these resources that have been buried under layers and layers of mental masturbation.
Exactly. And it might just help to keep a workout diary.
Why so? Why that?
Well, because there is that initial frustration, that initial boredom. You know, what's the point? But people find as they go along and progress, things start to change. And by keeping that notebook, they're doing their own autobiography of self-emergence.
Interesting.
They'll look back in 6 months and go, wow. And then maybe hand it on to somebody else to say, to read and say, this is what I went through. This is why I'm recommending it. This isn't some Fruit Loopy, airy-fairy, new age, razzle-dazzle, full of helium-filled words. This is real.
Right. Right. We have to take our last commercial break. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Transevolutionary Radio Show with Ken O'Neill. His website is transevolutionaryfitness.com. You can learn more about him there. He blogs. You can contact him there if you have questions. Check it out. We'll be right back.
The government may be watching us, but he's watching the government. He's Carl Lenore, only on Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workouts the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Scientists around the world confirm the vital importance of redox signaling to cell health. ASEA is the first and only stable, perfectly balanced mixture of these redox signaling reactive molecules that exist outside of living cells and can be used to help maintain proper balance inside the body to support the immune system, recovery, and the healing process. To learn more about ASEA and what it can do for you, go to superhumanradio.com and click the ASEA banner ad today.
By now, everyone knows I'm a big proponent of dairy, but as we all know, not all dairy is created equal. Learn more about a form of dairy made available to us that is raw, organic, grass-fed, grass-finished, low-heat pasteurized, and cultured with probiotics, without the offensive beta-casein protein believed to be 13 times more toxic than gluten. Check out superhumandairy.com to learn more, or go to superhumanradio.com and click the green-fed dairy banner ad today.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back. Ken, why don't we wrap this up, summarizing the three pillars that you have discovered that really are the subject of what you teach?
The three pillars, I'm tempted now to call the three facets of a gem. They're epigenetic. I hadn't seen that until recently. The first I call nutrient environment. And by that, I don't mean just the advocacy of nutrient-dense whole foods, appropriate supplements, but also the things that we know are signals that can get us in danger. For example, GMOs. We, as a species, have hundreds of millions of years of adaptation to environmental factors. Those things come in as signals. The signal docks with the receptor site. The effector that's stimulated lets that signal into the cell. It stimulates protein production from DNA. And it just may stimulate a modified protein production. Now, the thing we don't know about modified proteins is what they're going to do at that level or at a level of redundancy.
Well, wait a minute. Let's talk about modified proteins for a second, okay?
Yeah.
We recently did a show about aging endoplasmic reticulum and malformed or misfolded proteins that are produced, okay? So what makes something malformed and misfolded? The body doesn't recognize it as what it's looking for. That's all it is, right? The body has this library of proteins that it uses for
not
different
signals. Not necessarily. Look at synthetic estrogen for hormone replacement.
Right.
The estrogen molecule was its intended use was for postmenopausal women. Not taking into account that other receptors of estrogen include the heart, the cardiovascular system, and the brain. Those synthetic estrogens were wonderful stimulants for strokes and for cardiovascular instances.
But what I'm saying is this. Look, when the endoplasmic reticulum malforms a protein, it may assemble the amino acids in the wrong sequence. The body is not necessarily recognizing that as one of the proteins for signaling that it's looking for. This malformed or misfolded protein ends up becoming metabolic debris. The body doesn't know what to do with it. It becomes part of the plaque buildup in the brain that leads to diseases like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's disease. This is well-founded now. We talked about this on the show. So now let's take your example. So we have a genetically modified food, and maybe one of the proteins that is residual from the digestion of that food, it looks to the body to be a foreign protein, something it doesn't normally deal with. So it treats it like a malformed or misfolded protein, doesn't know what to do with it, and it ends up becoming a toxin in the body that ends up finding its way into a disease state. So just my point is, the body is very specific at what it's looking for, what it accepts as being belonging there. And what it doesn't accept as belonging there, it treats as a foreign invader by the immune system.
Right.
So this notion that, well, GMO is generally regarded as safe because it's still a kernel of corn. No, it's not, because there are different proteins now that are going to be in there that are going to result in different proteins through the digestive process. The body's going to go, this is foreign to us. We don't know what to do with this.
Agreed 100%. That's why I used that example of without the depth that you just gave me as part of the nutrient environment pillar. That's one of being mindful both of what is useful and beneficial to us and being mindful of what we should stay away from.
Mm-hmm.
And in this age of industrial foods and industrial packaging, it seems that the list just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Right.
Like plastic for bottled water is another example. Signaling for maintenance and repair, keeping the anabolic switch on. Now, this activity pillar is in line with what we were talking about maybe half an hour ago with respect to normalized studies of what's good for humans being done with people that are sedentary and resting, that are not stimulating regular metabolic turnover with the stress of exercise. And not that that's an adverse stress, it's an expected stress mm-hmm. based on our evolutionary history. So that's mandatory. In my world, for people that are interested in fitness and health, not advanced bodybuilding, not advanced powerlifting, I'll go there, but that's not my main interest.
Right.
Bodybuilding approach to training that includes some high-intensity interval training to stimulate extended post-workout oxygen consumption is my preferred practice. So that's in 45 minutes to an hour and a half, depending on where you are. The orientation toward training is progressive. It's not necessarily periodized. I don't recognize the 7-day work week in training. Almost as a joke, I wondered some time ago, looking at archival information about ancient civilizations that were based on the lunar calendar, if the lunar calendar was not perhaps more associated with our natural biological rhythms. So just for fun, I made the week 28 days. And within that, if you look at what the best article that summarized it is Schoenfeld's Mechanisms of Hypertrophy, he outlines a whole bunch of ranges of metabolic activity and ways to stimulate it. In my approach, we're incorporating all those. When Brad did his book, The Max Training Program, he periodized them so that you might be doing one form of training for 6 weeks and then another. I don't do that. I mix them all together. I mix them all together so it's fun. If you get pretty advanced, I don't want you doing the same workout twice in a row. I don't want you being habituated. I want you in there mindful of having fun and thriving and playing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a psychological basis for that. The third pillar or epigenetic facet is what I'm calling noetic. I'm increasingly of the opinion that our biological condition is an outcome of consciousness. You know the experience of falling madly in love and
yeah.
how the whole world changes?
Sure.
What do you think your biochemistry is at that point in time?
Altruistic. Oh, well, you said your biochemistry. I don't know.
It's thriving.
Yeah.
It's thriving.
Right.
Now, if you wake up in the morning with scared, fearful, what's your biochemistry going to be like for the day? You're going to be pumping out corticosteroids.
Right.
You're going to be engulfed in inflammation. And I think too much of the time we're engulfed in inflammation and stress. We can control that.
Mm-hmm.
But as we've been discussing over the weeks, there's a lot for us to learn about our basic biological and psychological and spiritual well-being. There's a lot for us to wake up from the momentum of mediocrity to learn who we are.
Right.
So I throw that in there, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I read a book shortly after high school, 50 years ago, by a guy up in Canada named Royce. The book was called The Encapsulated Man, and it was a plea for people to become generalists. He said he was a department chair in psychology. His claim was that modern education had bred and continued to breed specialists. And you know, a specialist is somebody that knows more and more about less and less.
That's funny.
And they don't get together and talk. When I've conducted groups, I purposely get people from all sorts of disciplines who would probably never talk to one another to stress multidisciplinarity on common themes. And man, do they have fun. They start realizing that the implications of what they're doing, say, in microbiology, suddenly have big impacts in what you do in the gym, and vice versa. So I became a generalist at that point, and the way that I conduct my life and consult and educate people is along those lines. There's a joy in discovering who we are.
Yeah, I agree. And there's a joy in discovering what you're capable of. And discovering what you're capable of takes mindfulness. There's no doubt about it. It doesn't happen by accident.
I'm going to add another point to that.
Please.
Growing up in the 60s, we had a champion that wrote a book called Unsafe at Any Speed, Ralph Nader. Ralph Nader was genuinely one of the first consumer advocates ever. In our field of normalized medicine and medical care, let's call it health care, we don't have consumer advocacy. And I don't know that we need it in the way of going out on a limb, but we certainly need health education at a grassroots level to ensure the quality of care we get, to ensure the thriving of our families and communities.
Yeah. Yeah, I have.
And of course, not everybody's going to jump in line, but we may only be addressing a small percentage of the population. But I think that small percentage is smart enough to gather together as communities, guided by intention, and become a counterculture of sorts.
And hopefully, that community is growing in size. So
that's
we'll
what
see.
We're here to do.
Just to kind of let a cat out of the bag, too. Since we're talking about growing the community, I've been approached by Genesis Communications Network. This is the same syndication group that syndicated the Alex Jones show, InfoWars. What's that?
He's in Austin, I thought.
Well, yeah, but the company that syndicates him is Genesis Communications.
Uh-huh.
And they've contacted me, and as of an email that we got yesterday, it looks like we are going to be syndicated by them.
Wow.
Now, it's going to be a slow process, but we'll have access to over 520 terrestrial stations inside the United States that hopefully over time will pick up the show and get this message. And the reason I'm telling you this is because we'll be able to reach more people in the mainstream that are willing and interested in hearing this message, that are enlightened enough to accept this message, that are intelligent enough to get their head around this message over time. So we're very excited about that. And And we'll talk more about that next week. Also,
another thing we need to do look at is linking with and strategic alliances with organizations like Institute of Noetic Sciences and Kindred Operations, so that there's a mutual support.
Well, why don't you reach out to them, by the way?
Will do.
And see if we can't maybe have someone from their organization on one of the next shows we do.
I'm ready to start bringing people in.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that.
All right.
Anyway, a great show today. A lot of concepts to get your head around and think through. All I'm asking people to be is open-minded. I'm not saying that you should accept all of this without considering what it means to you. But what I am asking you to do is at least accept the concept of being in more greater control of your own mind by taking the 30-day mindfulness challenge. We'll have a fourth installment on next Thursday's show.
And I don't want people believing anything I say. I want people to become walking question marks.
There you go. And that, and we've talked about that on the show. You know what? Question everything. Find out for yourself, because when you find out for yourself, then you can truly invest yourself in it. Ken O'Neill, thanks for being on the show today. The website is transevolutionaryfitness.com. If you'd like to communicate with Ken, do so there. And we'll see everybody tomorrow with another episode of Superhuman Radio. Thanks, Ken.
Thanks, Carl.
Okay.
Previously on Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
So government mandates the use of this, and government says you should try that, but government doesn't do those things.
Listen weekdays at noon.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.